Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. We are going to start the Age of Aquarius that starts our show. Sunshine in. I just don't know what is happening with our song, but for the last 2 months, every time we go to play our astrology day, that song just doesn't come on first. So I don't know if it's trying to tell me that it wants a new song, but Age of Aquarius is what we rock on Wednesdays. Hi, everyone. Hi, Ron. Hi, Kelly.
Hello,
out
Bonnie.
There. Hi.
Hello.
Ron. Hi, Ron. Give me a few seconds. I want to tell everybody what's coming up the rest of this week, and I want to thank everybody for being here. Today, we have astrology. You know our famous, world-renowned astrologer, Ron Cole, is here to give us what's going on in our heavens. Oh, for heaven's sake, what's gone on in those heavens? It has just been a wild month, and it doesn't seem like it's ending yet, so Ron's going to come and tell you what's next. We also have a reading at the end, and you're going to love this. One of our co-hosts, one of my guests, is having a reading today, so it'll be interesting to hear what her astrology rocks. Then we've got Kelly. Kelly Coulter, she's my girl. She does Atlantean life cards, and she does their life and birth cards. She will be taking callers. Get in because she's really good, and she gets filled. So everybody come in about 10 of 2 if you want to talk to Kelly. Now, tomorrow, I've got a special guest. I'm so excited to have him. He is just such a nice guy. Besides being a nice guy, he's super talented. Maybe some of you met him in chat yesterday because he just dropped on by, but his name is Ronald. I am so sorry. I have got this thing going here. And he is going to rock our world. He has done shows all over this country. He has been at Bed and Breakfast. He's done where he's picked people up and actually took them and did a big show with them. He rocks shows. He goes all over. He goes into hotels. He gets sold out every time. He's been at the Gettysburg Battlefield. He had been on the season opener for the Bio Channel on My Ghost Story. He is currently writing a book, and we will be the first, I hope, to find out when it's done published, and I hope he comes back. He is a spirit medium, everybody. He is a total spirit medium, meaning when you talk to him tomorrow, all you have to do is ask him who you want him to find. He loves when you ask, will you find him, her, my grandmother, my mother, my brother, my friend in spirit? That's how he works. And he's so fabulous that I am so excited. I want a reading from him. He is just a great guy. He's talented. He is famous. He has his own show and has had many shows. He's been on his own radio show, and he has live streams. So you can actually go to ronaldreeder.com, and you can see him. He is a super guy. Again, there's very few people that I want a reading from. This guy, I want a reading from. I know I've talked to him, but in depth, he goes further and further with you, and it is just so cool. Because I got to only see, not only talk to some of the people I have in spirit, but he actually saw things that happened in my life prior. So you're going to love this guy, ronaldreeder.com. Get on, take a look at what he's got. He's got all kinds of live streams so you can see actually how he works, where he's worked, and please call in tomorrow, 1 to 2. He'll be here 1 to about 2:15, and we are going to rock that show. So please call in early because I know he's going to have a lot of callers, and I know you all talk to him in chat. Today, though, we are going to talk to my guy, Ron. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Bonnie. Good day to you.
Yes, good. You know what? I am so sorry. I got so tongue-tied. I've got papers all over my desk. You know, I kind of screwed up yesterday, and I had somebody coming, wrong day, wrong time, different country, and I have just tried to make up since. So it has been paperwork all over my desk, and I haven't been able to really catch up, but I do want you to know that we've got a cool show. And, Ron, I hope you stop in to hear him because Ronald Reeder, he's actually got your name, Ronald. He is just so super cool. Even if you can't call in, Ron, I'd love you to listen to him.
Well, Bonnie, this person sounds like he's going to be absolutely fascinating from what you're saying. And there's one more thing. It's exciting to find out there's another metaphysically orientated person named Ronald.
There is? Him?
Yes. He and Open I and many two, others, I'm sure.
Yes, it's too cool. I don't think he has our birthday, though, Ron. So you rock my birthday, but he rocks your name. So see how, like, that circle hits? It's too cool.
Right.
All right, well, I know, Ron, you're really excited to start talking about what's going on in the sky. I say heavens because I just love the heavens. But I know that first you want to talk about planets that rule two signs. And I think this is really cool because I don't think people know that, and I think that's why you want to talk about it. So we'll wait for the Grand Cross at the end, but we want to rock the planets that have two signs and why. So you go ahead, Ron.
You know, people often ask me, why do some planets rule two signs of the zodiac and all the others only rule one? Well, actually, this is an evolution in the science of astrology. Until 1780s, every planet ruled two signs except the sun and moon. The sun always ruled Leo, singular, and the moon only ruled Cancer. But every other planet ruled two signs. But new planets started to be discovered, and as they were, they stole one of the signs, if you want to use that term, from an existing planet and had that sign unto themselves. The first example was in the 1780s when the planet Uranus was discovered. But up until then, Saturn ruled both Capricorn and Aquarius. So you Aquarian people, you were once ruled by Saturn. And here comes the discovery of this brand new planet by Herschel in England. In fact, even until the 1970s or so, the British publications would refer to it as Herschel instead of Uranus because of the name of its ruler, a discoverer. Well, after research was done in a short period of time, it was ascertained that this brand new planet was very much connected to Aquarius. So here came a brand new revolution in astrology. For centuries and centuries, planets ruled two signs. One was feminine, one was masculine, and was very orderly. And these were the planets we could see. Then here comes this new planet, and it took one sign away. Well, it left Saturn only to rule Capricorn, and Aquarius only was connected with the new planet Uranus. Then, in the 1840s, this trend continued. Neptune was discovered, and up until the 1840s, Jupiter used to rule Sagittarius and Pisces. Well, it was quickly ascertained that Pisces is very much akin to the energy of Neptune, and so Neptune is said to be the one and only ruler of Pisces, and Jupiter was left with one sign, Sagittarius. Then in the 1930s, here comes the discovery of Pluto. And I don't want anybody to say, oh, it's not a planet, it's been debunked. Well, that's absolutely a few people's opinions. It is a planet. It does have an orbit around the sun. It might be a small planet, and that's the reason why it was considered by some astronomers to not be considered one of the official planets, because it's very small. But it does exist in the world of astrology in a powerful way. When Pluto was discovered, it took a while, probably between 1930 to 1935, 36, before it was pretty much determined where its rulership would lie, and that was with Scorpio. Up until then, Mars used to rule Aries and Scorpio. Now, Mars only rules Aries, and Scorpio is connected with Pluto. So you can see this trend. As new planets are discovered, they take away one of the signs associated with another planet, and they are the official ruler of that sign. Well, right now, today, Venus still rules two signs. It is connected with the signs of Taurus and Libra. And Mercury rules two signs. It is connected to the rulership of the signs of Gemini and Virgo. Now, this should tell us that two more planetary bodies are going to be discovered, and when discovered, they're going to be researched heavily by astrologers to see what sign of the zodiac they are connected with. I know that Sedna was discovered a number of years ago, and there's a lot of astrological research with this very far distant planet named Sedna, and they're trying to determine which sign of the zodiac it's going to be connected with. So that means it's going to remove either one of the Venus signs or one of the Mercury ruled signs. And so as astrology evolves, as we evolve and we become more cognizant of seeing planets further and further from the sun, we also come to understand that astrology is an energy in which a planet of our solar system is connected to one sign of the zodiac and has a certain kinship to another sign, but it doesn't really rule it. That's the way we used to believe, but it doesn't rule it. It only rules one sign. And the newly discovered planets will be taking up these signs. So there's this big debate among astrologers, Bonnie, about, well, if Venus loses a sign, will it lose Taurus or will it lose Libra? And if Mercury loses a sign, is it going to lose Gemini or is it going to lose Virgo? And there are kind of sides taken up as to which will be which.
I can already tell you, Ron.
You can? What do you believe?
Well, I believe that Mercury, there's no way it can rule Virgo. I'm sorry. So what was the other planet? Gemini?
Venus
so Mercury,
ruling either Taurus or Libra.
Mercury is either Taurus or Libra?
Oh, no. Mercury rules Gemini or Virgo. So you did make the comment about Virgo not being connected with Mercury. And what about
I just don't think it's connected at all. Yeah, I would think that it would be Gemini. And I bet you they're going to find I'm right. And the other one is the Venus one. Well, honey, I want the Venus one, so it needs to come up to Cancer, even though it can't, but it really should.
Well, you are actually right on the perimeter of Mercury. In astrology gatherings, astrology seminars and organizations, most everybody believes that Gemini is Mercury's one correct, pure, connected sign, and that Virgo is probably going to be removed by another discovered planet, and it will be the official ruler of Virgo. And in the case of Venus, when it's associated with Taurus or Libra, and remember, all of these are either a feminine or masculine sign. It was very orderly. Every sign, every planet ruled a feminine sign and a masculine sign. Now, in the case of Venus, the feminine sign is Taurus, and the masculine sign is Libra. Most astrologers pretty much think that Taurus is going to be removed and be connected with the newly upcoming discovered planet.
I knew that. I knew that one, too. You could just see. I mean, it's just not even that difficult. Yes. I just shouldn't be with that bull, even though I love a lot of my friends who are Tauruses, and they like finer things in life. I just think that if it's going to be anything, that Venus is going to be with those balancing scales and that beautiful dress. So, to me, I already made the decision. And I know, like Ron, that you would agree with me. Libra is so much more in the energy of Venus than Taurus, at least I think.
It is. And what's very interesting about all of this, Bonnie, when the 1780s were here, we had all of the revolutions in the world going on, the American Revolution, the French Revolution, we had the Enlightenment, and here comes a discovery of the first planet that we could not see with our naked eye, the one that had to be discovered with telescope use, and that was Uranus. And then all these scientific blue-nose skeptics said, well, that just disproves this old belief, this medieval fascination called astrology, because we now have a new planet, and this is going to wreck the whole belief system. Well, it did not. It started a very different trend. It started the trend to explain that planets actually rule one sign each, and that when they were paired up for the visible planets, that's Mercury through Saturn, they actually were associated with two signs for centuries, for eternity almost, until we discover new planets and we realize that those new planets are associated with one sign of the zodiac, leaving one sign back with the original planet. So I believe, like you, Mercury will probably be connected with Gemini. Venus will probably be connected with Libra. Now, a lot of Taurus people and a lot of Virgo people are probably panicking, saying, well, what am I really ruled by? Well, as of today's date, we don't really know. We're still doing research, and Sedna has been that SEDNA, Sedna, has been a fairly recently discovered planetary body, and there's a lot of work by putting that in people's charts, seeing how that area of their chart is affected by that planet and what types of energy characteristics that house or area of the chart is giving off because of that planet being there. That's how we determine these other rulerships. Pluto was discovered in 1930, and by 1935 and 36, there were already entire books written about Pluto and its association with Scorpio. And you know what, Bonnie? When Pluto was discovered, it was a worldwide craze. People went just head over heels in excitement about this brand new planet being discovered, because up until that point, it was nicknamed Planet X, and a man named Percival Lowell was trying his best to find this unknown planet, but he never lived to actually discover it. Clyde Trombaugh actually was the man who discovered Pluto in 1930, and it was in an observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona. And what's very interesting is then this big excitement went out to name the new planet, and a young girl in England was sent the first telegraph to say, I believe the planet should be named Pluto. And because of her brand new telegraph coming in, the first one, her name was Vanita Burney, she was the one who gave Pluto the name. And those of you who love Disney, the reason why Mickey Mouse's dog is named Pluto is Walt Disney was also so excited, among others in the world at the time of this new planet's discovery, that he named that new character Pluto in honor of that new planet being discovered.
Well, you know what, Ron? I've got to tell everybody, and I hope everybody, I hope you don't mind me giving away your secret, but I think that's why you love Disney so much. It's because you
love
the name Pluto, and you love Disney for naming that dog or whatever it is, I think it's a dog, after Pluto the planet, which, and then your astrologer. So I think it now it all ties in why you have those tickets, and I am so happy to hear that because I love Pluto too.
Well, I had one scientist say to me, well, Ronald, if Pluto were actually closer to the sun, it would actually have a tail like a comet. And I said, well, Pluto, the character in Disney, does have a tail, Pluto the dog.
Oh,
so I kind of got right back at him with that. Well, there has been this energy to try to demark or de-planetize Pluto, but actually don't let them do this. Unfortunately, in today's textbooks, they say the planets are only up to Neptune. They don't even include Pluto. And what's sad about that is that's only a minority opinion of a handful of astronomers. It is not everybody in the scientific world. And their handful minority got that through. Keep educating your children and your friends that this planet does exist. Yes, it is a small planet, but so is Mercury. But Pluto, as of this point, has three known moons. And we are going to know, I made a mistake in a past show. I said July of 2014, we're going to know a lot more about Pluto because a satellite probe will be arriving there. Actually, it's July of 2015, so we have to wait a little over a year. But we've got a space satellite on its way to Pluto to take photographs of it and to determine much about its composition.
Wow. You know what? I love Pluto. And isn't Pluto, aren't they one of the, isn't that one of the big heavy planet, hitter planets in this big?
Well, it's heavy, all right, because when it does make certain configurations, it can be a tough planet to deal with because it can be a heavy hitter. It's in this grand cross going on right now.
Well, can you tell us, and I just want to say hello to Susan. Susan, I'm going to be rocking with you in a few minutes, girlfriend, but I do want to hear about this grand cross that's here this week. Because, see, I got to tell you, I follow astrology, Ron, and, you know, you're my astrologer. But when every day I read astrology, it is just this month has, I mean, thank goodness I have a great outlook on life. But I'm telling you, they cringe when they saw this month coming a couple years ago. So tell us about the Grand Cross before I bring Susan on.
This is astrologers all over the world now. It's not just my opinion unique unto myself. This has been something they have been noting and have been saying, look, we have to pay attention to this one. It is exact today and today. Now, it started its influence on April 6th. There was an orb or a degree energy pattern that started to create the Grand Cross in orb on April 6th. It's exact to the 22nd, 23rd, and it will start toning down. Now, that doesn't mean it's over, but toning down May the 8th, and it will finally be over June the 4th. Now, there's something called a T-square between three planets, not four, between three planets that will continue until July 14th. But this cross actually is April 6th to June 4th. It's a very long-lasting one. And three of the planets that make legs of this cross are slow-moving, hand-hitting planets. And everything is at 13 degrees. The cross is exactly at 13 degrees of the cardinal signs. And here's what the cardinal signs are. Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Aquarius. And all four of those have something at 13 degrees today, making hard afflictions to the other three. At 13 degrees, Aries is Uranus. At 13 degrees, Cancer is Jupiter. At 13 degrees, Libra is Mars. And at 13 degrees, Capricorn is Pluto. So this is a toughie. First of all, why is this tough? Well, it's going to be particularly tough for certain people and situations and countries in the world. The U.S. is one of them, because when 1776 happened and the Declaration of Independence was signed, the U.S. sun was at 13 degrees Cancer. And so that's one of the points of this cardinal Grand Cross. Although Jupiter is there, people might say, oh, we've got Jupiter there. That's no problem. Well, it's heavily afflicted by the other planets, and this can show things blowing up to bigger or larger perspectives. Another thing we have to be aware of, and I was listening to this in the news yesterday, is Vladimir Putin's sun is at 13 degrees Libra. His sun is one of the points of this Grand Cross, and this means he's under a heavy afflicted energy, and Mars is a very aggressive, reactionary, impulsive, war-like planet. And so his sun, by the way, squares the U.S. sun exactly. His sun at 13 Libra makes a hard angle square, which is the toughest aspect of all in astrology, to the U.S. sun at 13 degrees Cancer. So there's not a lot of love between Putin and the U.S. However, this cardinal cross doesn't just end in early June and, oh, it's all over and we made it through and okay. This is one of those tough kind of aspects that will have a residual effect. It will continue to influence the world throughout the rest of 2014, 2015, and into 2016. And I'll give you an example why. When an eclipse occurs in the sky, like we had a week ago, the date of the eclipse just starts its energy effect, and it lasts for 6 months. So the eclipse was the 15th of April, and the effect of that eclipse will go to October 15th, 2014, for 6 months. Well, with Grand Cross like this, won't just go for 6 months. This will affect the world, countries in the world, and people in the world between this time here in April of 2014 until perhaps as late as the ending of 2016. This can affect the world for two and a half years coming up. So,
well, you know what, Ron?
This is not
what
an
I
easy
think...
energy. Go ahead.
I know, but do you know what I think, Ron? And I've always said this, and I'm hoping that all of our weapons disappear somehow. I think the aliens should take it up. But here is how I feel. I feel that we, you know, everything is made to reoccur until we learn our lessons. And so I know there was another Grand Cross, and it might have been in a war situation or started a war or whatever in that Grand Cross, but in this Grand Cross, it's coming around again, same scenario, different players. But what I think is if we've tried to learn our lessons, meaning that we actually could talk peace and prosperity and happiness, and you stay your side, we'll stay ours, Then we've learned our lesson, and then I think the cross dissipates and we won't see one for another time because we've learned our lessons and how to deal with countries and war and things. I don't know that that'll happen, but that's what I'm hoping happens.
Well, that's the higher end of a grand cross. Its energy is very intense and very, very connected with developmental tension. Now, what one is supposed to do from that is not to say, oh, well, all is bad. Look at this. It's all just challenging energy. Nothing we can do about it. That's the wrong attitude. We actually are realizing that when things like this formulate in the sky, they are there for just what you said, for us to learn and grow and not repeat history, because we all know the old
That's
thing,
right.
History repeats itself.
Yes, I don't like that. I don't want it to repeat. Why it repeats itself is because we, as a whole, don't learn the lessons, and they are going to keep going and going until we do learn the lessons. And hopefully, you know that old saying in the Age of Aquarius, which is why I like to play it, and peace will run the planet, and you know that, and love will run the stars. That's what I want to see us learn.
Very good, and I agree with you. And this is at 13 degrees, and I had someone say to me, well, that's that unlucky number, 13, you know, like the fearful number. Everyone's afraid of 13. And I said, well, it's not so much that it's at 13. It could be at any degree. But there are a certain number of people in the world that are afraid of 13, like Friday the 13th, you see, and are afraid of it and are think of it as an unlucky number. Well,
I had one person
say to me, that means that this is worse than ever because it's at that unlucky number 13. And I said, no, it would be tough in any degree, not just
that's right.
And it's at 13.
And you know what? My sister was born on Friday the 13th, and maybe I should be afraid of Friday the 13th. but I do love my sister. She's a sweetheart on this earth plane. Yes, she's had her moments, and yes, she's a Leo, but kind of is more maybe not a Leo so much, because I should be the Leo anyway in that family, but she's more like a Virgo, actually. But I do want to tell you that things good happen on Friday the 13th, and I have always liked that number just because everybody else didn't. So you know me, I'm always gone across the grain, and I think my parents didn't love that when I was young, but at least I was a good girl. I just, you know, I always took the alternative route. But, you know, I think we have Susan on. And unless, Ron, you want to talk anything more about that Grand Cross, because I know you could have talked the whole show on the Grand Cross.
No, I think we covered it last week and this week, and I do have Susan's chart here right in front of me now.
Oh, I'm so excited, because Susan, I'm going to tell you who she is at the end, but let me get her on. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
I'm so happy. Ron, this is Susan. Susan, this is
Ron. Hi,
Ron.
Hello, Susan. A pleasure to talk with you.
You too.
Are you
now,
ready?
Just let me,
ready.
Yeah, just let me tell her. Susan, he talks, and of course I try to butt in, but I'm not going to. And then at the end, he'll ask you if there's any questions. But you've got to listen intently because he is an intense kind of guy. Go for
okay.
it,
Ron.
Well, Susan, with your chart set up in front of me, and by the way, you pre-provided me your city of birth, date of birth, and time of birth. And the chart was set up before this show, so that's the only way you can do a reading for someone is by having that information in advance. I noticed that you have three planets. One of them is the sun, so we'll call the sun a planet for convenience. You have three planets in Aquarius, and you have three planets in Virgo. So those are the most dominantly placed signs of the zodiac. Next, I noticed that your sun, your moon, and your ascendant is in a very intelligent sign. The sun is in Aquarius, which is a sign that's very famous for breakthrough thinking and inventive creativeness. And you were born with the moon in Virgo. Now it's at the very ending of Virgo, which is something to be noted about, but it's still in Virgo. And Virgo is also a sign that's very intelligent. And then Gemini was the sign rising over the eastern sky in your birth city. At the moment of your birth, the sign of Gemini was coming up over the eastern edge of the earth in the location where you were born. That's your rising sign. And that's also an intelligent sign. So your big three, your sun, your moon, and your rising sign are all in placements that are considered smart signs. So this can be a highly cerebral, intelligent, quick to learn, quick to grasp type of chart patterning. Next point, you have Sun, Mars, and Saturn in Aquarius. Mars is very close to your Sun, and Saturn is a little too far away from your Sun to be within influence of it, but it's still in the same sign. Many astrologers would not be positive about that, and I'll tell you why. Mars and Saturn still carry a stigma or reputation of being challenging planets in the energy they give off, even from ancient times to the present. But Mars will be more the kicker here because it's right near your Sun. So you were born with a Sun-Mars conjunction or alignment, which is good for energy, and it's good for quick, sudden breakthroughs with ideas and concepts and conceptualization, because Mars speeds up any connection that it makes in the chart. It's more like an energizer and an energizer activator. And the other thing is, this is all focused in Aquarius, and Aquarius rules the blood of the body, the bloodstream and the body's blood itself. It rules the calves of the legs and the ankles of the legs. So this means in the course of your life, you have to be very careful so that you don't have repeated times with Charlie horses, leg cramps, pulling muscles in the legs, stress in the legs, stress on the ankles. And you have to be very, very careful when you, if you ever get a cut, to make sure that it is very clean, cleaned immediately and then bandaged, because you don't want to have any type of blood contamination or blood poisoning happening for you, because Aquarius people are sensitive to that. They're more sensitive to blood-borne injuries that can later on result in problems or spin-off infections. Also, like I said, their legs and their ankles. Yet, this is the sign that is the sign of the new age. And I think it's very interesting that here you were born with three planets in Aquarius, and we are now in the beginning of the age of Aquarius. Now, with Saturn there, that's kind of interesting to have it in Aquarius, because it means in this lifetime as Susan, you are really, in a concentrated way, working off, releasing, and cleansing a lot of karma that may have been attached to your soul for many lives, not just the last one, but many lives, because Saturn is the lord of karma, and its nature, among other things, is to be the great karmic releaser, the great karmic overcomer, if there is such a term, the ability to work through and work off karma. Saturn is connected to the past. It's connected to what happened long ago. It's connected to the ago. And Aquarius is connected to the now and the future. Now, that's very interesting. What you have a power to do is you can get with a person, befriend them, or counsel them, and see things from the past that have an influence in that person and on that person. And that could be earlier in this life, and you also could be very good in picking up past lives. You can be very good in determining or ascertaining the journey and evolution of that person's soul and experiences they have had that brought them to the point where they are now. And then, here's where it gets interesting, the Aquarius part comes out. And the Aquarius says it gives them an insight as to the point they are in their journey of evolutionary life now, and gives them insight as to what direction to go in the future, or how to turn the wheel of the car of life that they are driving into what direction. You not only can pick up on the past and the past events and past experiences and past karma and past situations, you are very good in showing how that can be utilized by releasing or remolding for the future from where you are now. Aquarians are futuristic people as a rule. They're very good in interest in what's going to be happening 6 months from now or 1 year from now or 5 years from now. They are looking ahead types. But with Saturn there, you look from the past to the present to ahead. Next, you've got all those Virgo planets. You're very good with details. You pick up details with people. You pick up details with concepts and ideas. You don't just let something go right over your head. You see the analytical power or precision of it. And you're capable of being very analytical. Now, it's fascinating that your moon is at 29 degrees Virgo, and that's actually the last degree of that sign. The signs of the zodiac start from 0 degrees to 29 degrees. And when a planet is at 29 degrees, it's said to be on an anaretic degree. Now, that word anaretic was created by the Arabic research astrologers in the European Middle Ages, because the Arabic astrologers were doing tremendous research. They weren't inhibited by fear or superstition or any overseeing body. And they discovered that something at the 29th degree means it is at a degree of completing, a degree of finishing, a degree of ending. And so the fact that you've got your moon, which is very much connected with your mother, and it's very much connected with your nurturing and mothering instinct, and it's very much connected with your emotions, and it's very much connected with the goddess or feminine energy, the divine feminine, the sacred feminine. You've got it at 29 degrees. That means this is a crescendo zenith or completing lifetime with a lot of those experiences. Number one, the person who is your physical, biological mother in this lifetime, this chart seems to tell me you are at the ending point of having any type of interaction with her in this lifetime. This seems to tell me that you've worked off so much karma, and if you still have any remaining, you will work it off, harmonize it off, release it, and move on before you leave this physical body as Susan. So the other thing is, you are at an apex or peak in this lifetime as Susan, in which the divine feminine, the sacred feminine, the goddess energy, the angelic beings and spiritual teachers and guides that come in feminine bodies or forms, you have worked with them over and over again in past lives, and you've reached a point of a certain amount of understanding and harmonic balance where the feminine is concerned, because you have your moon there 29 degrees. You also are very good in understanding emotional situations, emotional complexities in people, because you've had many lifetimes of understanding, even before the term psyche, or understanding the person's inner working and inner being and inner pattern and evolution of their soul, even before people even understood concepts. You were already understanding those, and you worked a lot in past lives with people's complex emotions, and you've kind of become somewhat very expertise at that in this life by having the emotionally orbed moon at that 29-degree Virgo. Now, Virgo is also a sign associated with health. It's associated with the health of the physical body or any level of what we call health. And you've got Pluto in Virgo, Uranus in Virgo, and the moon at 29 degrees in Virgo. And so you're also very good in getting to the roots of where health problems could occur in people. When a person has a health issue or a health emergency or a health crisis or a health situation, you're very good in finding out where did it come from? What was the evolution that brought to them now this particular health situation? Now, you don't just leave it there. You also get to the point of how this can be worked through, released, overcome, and risen out of. You're very good in understanding people's health, and there's a certain element about you that can make you have talent with being a medical intuitive by having those Virgo planets, and particularly Uranus, the ruler of the New Age, Pluto, a water planet associated with deep, powerful healing, and the moon associated with the emotional complexity, especially from the evolution of the feminine and the mother side. So this is a very interesting chart. When you see planets in Virgo and you see planets in Aquarius in a person's chart, you know, point number one, they're smart. They're going to have a great degree of a high level of understanding, a high IQ, and have great comprehensive. Now, with Gemini rising, That's a very interesting sign because in traditional astrology, we see Gemini as being the image of the twins. And then a lot of people make fun out of Gemini saying, oh, it's like Jekyll and Hyde. It's like two personalities. It's like split personality. Well, in reality, it is the sign of multiple application. You could be writing a book, doing work with people, doing research, and thinking of new projects all at the same time. You have a multiplication type of personal being and nature in this life. And you also could be dialoguing or communicating with people, and words can be coming through, and words, by the way, are associated with Gemini, and you could be communicating with the now and those words, and then you could be thinking ahead to what else is going to be coming up right behind those words and the next statements and the next things that are going to be expressed and seen because of that Gemini's ability to apply in a multiplicative way. Venus in your chart is in the same sign it's in right now in the sky. It's in Pisces today, and you were born with Venus in Pisces. And that's a very good sign to have Venus in because it's exalted or in a position of strength when it's in the sign of Pisces. And when you have Venus in Pisces, that means you've got great psychic insight to help people where relationships are concerned and to help people with love and love matters and to help people in understanding why there was the attraction from one person to another, what they were working on, what they are completing in this life, what they are starting in this life, what level of evolution those two souls have with each other. By the way, you have a very intuitive chart, and I'm saying this because you've got rather intuitive spiritual-type planets in Virgo, the moon, Pluto, a water planet, Uranus, the ruler of the New Age, and then you've got Venus in Virgo sitting opposite that, and then you've got Neptune in the house of health, which is the penultimate psychic planet in a psychic sign, Scorpio, and then you've got all those Aquarius planets, which isn't really psychic, but it's associated with energy, vibrationary energy, frequency energy. So you're very good in picking up the energy of souls and reading their journey in this lifetime and beyond. Now, you've got Jupiter in Aries, which is a fire sign, and Jupiter by nature is a fire planet because it rules the sign of Sagittarius. So it's kind of at home when it's in other fire signs, and Aries is one of the other fire signs. And when Jupiter is in Aries, that can give a certain amount of robustness and keep on going and keep on going and see the big picture and keep on going to get to it and just have an almost like a constant booster shot of energy to get to that big picture, to get to that big panorama, to get to that big conclusion about things. Now, Chiron is not a planet. Well, actually, this one could be debated. There's a small planetoid that is existing between Saturn and Uranus, and it takes 51 years for it to go around the sun. When it was first discovered in 1977, it was believed to be an errant asteroid that got off the asteroid belt somehow and got in its own orbit going around the sun. But as we are looking more and more at Chiron, it's going beyond the asteroid theory now to actually become a very small, tiny planet. So when I say it's not a planet, it's not been positioned yet in the zodiac to rule a sign of the zodiac, and it's still, although it was discovered in 1977, it's still being researched in people's charts. So Chiron is at 12 degrees Pisces. Venus is at 19 degrees Pisces, so you have a Chiron-Venus alignment when you were born. Now, Chiron is called the wounded healer. Chiron is, in mythology, a centaur who was the greatest healer of all, but yet he, the great healer, became wounded and had pain forever and never got through that pain. He could heal everyone else, but he couldn't heal himself. That's where we get the expression, physician, heal thyself. So there's always a sense of wounding or a sense of great genius with Chiron, but when it comes to the self, there is an Achilles heel or vulnerable point. And here is this planetoid sitting right next to Venus. Now, most astrologers would say, uh-oh, that shows brokenheartedness in love. That shows relationships that cannot always be. Fascinated with someone who's already married, fascinated with someone that runs off with someone else, etc. And indeed, some of those things could happen in life. But what this gives on the other perspective is you to help people understand the why and how if a relationship doesn't materialize but is starting, and then suddenly it falls apart, or if someone they love is unavailable to them. Like they may have had great evolution with that soul, and now that soul is married to someone else, and they cannot marry them. Or where they stand in evolutionary relationship to another person or other people, plural. Why is this a healer? Because knowledge gives healing. Knowledge is the key to overcome karma. When you're aware of something, you could work on it and overcome it. If you're not aware of it and it's blind within you, it is a karmic type of thing. So with Chiron near Venus, you've got a great degree of power within you to karmically help people and get them on the right road or to start them into the knowledge of the situation of where that person that they may be in love with now that's an impossible love, where they were linked up before and why they have those feelings. You have a great power to provide the why into other people's lives. You can also work very well with children because you've got three planetary bodies, the moon, Pluto, and Uranus, in the house of children. You could help people understand why a certain child was born to them or why that child and they, the parent, have to have a lifetime together or come together. You've got great pattern from past lives to this life. You've got great pattern to show the journey of the soul. You've got great patterns to show the why and how people came into incarnations and what energies they are connected with and working with. You could particularly work well with children or a person who has a child who's very rebellious, who's very obstinate. Uranus could be Mr. Rebellion, and that's in the house of children. Pluto can be incredibly stubborn and incredibly fixated in their views and not yield. And these are energies that could be in the personality manifests of children, and you could work well with people who have children with these personality traits and have them understand how to deal with these traits and have them understand how to help these children get through this period or to at least get them in a springboard in a more healthier, better direction. When you were born, the North Node, which is not a planet, again, this is not a planet, is at 10 degrees Cancer in your house of money. And your South Node is at 10 degrees Capricorn. The nodes were once called the Dragon's Head and the Dragon's Tail. And the North Node in past was considered good, and the South Node was considered bad. The North Node was supposed to have a nature of Jupiter, and the South Node was supposed to have a nature of Saturn. Well, we don't quite look at it that way anymore. The North Node is the big one, and that's the one that's even listed in books. And the South Node is directly opposite it. The North Node shows Dharma, or what you are supposed to be working on and evolving with in this lifetime, and going in the direction of. And it's in the sign of Cancer, a metaphysical, psychic, sensitive, emotional, compassionate, family-orientated sign. So you can work very well with the person and their family. You can work very well with an individual through your intuitive ability or spiritual talents. You can work very well with people if they have fixations with food or food phobias or food connections, overeating. Cancer is connected a lot with how we feed ourselves and how we treat our family or how we are treated by our family. So you've got a great connecting energy with that, and it's in your house of money. You have a brilliant chart. You could be a very good psychotherapist. You could be a good mental health counselor. You could be a very good psychologist. You can do well because you can get into the psyche and the why and the how on the evolution of people and where they've come from and what experiences they've had and how they're going to integrate those experiences through knowledge and understanding. Now, the South Node was in Capricorn, which means in past lives, because the South Node indicates what you had been experiencing. What were you going to say? Oh, the south node's in Capricorn, and that indicates that in a past you came out of a very restricted, not in this life, but in a past life, you yourself came out of a very restricted environment. Now, it could have been restricted in many ways. You could have been born in a very rural, agrarian country or part of the world in which farming, connection to the land, generations living in the same house on the same farmland or property kept the family unity together there, but no one leaving, no one going anywhere, no one getting outside experience or education. That could be one possibility. The other possibility is that you could have been born in poverty or in limitation or in restriction. So you're coming out of some type of personal life experience yourself in which you were very limited. Your knowledge was very limited. Your access to knowledge was limited. Your access to full monetary abundance or prosperity was limited. Now that's then. You don't have to dwell on that. That's where you're coming out of. You're coming out of a Saturn-like life, Saturnine-like existence, and you're now supposed to be working a lot with the moon and the moon's energy, because that's the ruler of Cancer, and that's where you have the North Node in this life, and that's related a lot to the emotions, the family, the mother, and all the things I've said. Interestingly enough, in ancient Egypt, they did not use the symbol of a crab or crayfish for Cancer. They used the symbol of the scarab beetle for that sign. And they also said that the scarab beetle is the emblem of the soul. And the scarab beetle shows the journey of the soul. Now, therefore, in ancient Egypt, in their understanding, the sign of Cancer was the sign associated with the soul's journey, with the soul's journey from past lives into this life and the journey onward in this life through and onward in the future. So it was more connected with the evolution of a being. And if you look at the old belief system of that with Cancer, and you've got your North Node in Cancer, you can have great power with soul work, soul energy, soul retrieval, soul release. Another thing you could do, being an Aquarius, which is a very pioneering sign, you can work on people breaking karmic links or lines. In other words, a karmic thing that's generationally repeated, 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 inherited, 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 from one generation to the other, that's not necessarily good. That could be very bonding. You can work with people being the one who will break that bonding, who will be the one who will move on or move ahead in life. And you could work with people who are too unhealthily anchored or linked in their past and move on and break free from that and look to the now and look to the future. So it's fascinating that you've got these energy points there. You also have the number 29 degrees on the cusp of your house of money and on the cusp of your house of psychic and intuitive ability. You've got 29 Gemini on the second house and 29 Sagittarius on the eighth house. Now, what does that mean? You're probably thinking, well, the second house deals with income, flow, possessions, investments, fiscal and financial things in this life. And when you have a 29th degree there, it means in this life, something about the way you make money, something about the way income comes to you, something about the way you handle and understand the flow of money is not something new that just popped into your mind in this life, but has been an evolutionary way of thinking and doing and experiencing and expressing from a number of past lives that have kind of come to a point of crescendo or apex or zenith in this life. You also have 29 degrees Sagittarius on the eighth house, which is, among other things, the house of intuitive ability. Now, I know a lot of people will say, well, is there really a house of psychic ability? And I see it as the eighth house because in my research with astrology charts, the most psychic people in the world, not the frauds, not the charlatans, but true born psychics, tend to have a lot of planets in their eighth house. And this is the positioning that I see that brought them into that great psychic that talent. Well, you've got that 29th degree on the cusp of this eighth house, which means that you've had a number of lives, many lives, even from ancient times onward, in which you have worked with psychic energy, intuitive energy, spiritual energy, mystical energy, but now you're born in the age of Aquarius. Now you're born as an Aquarius, and you're going to be working with that energy in a different way in this life. You're taking the evolution of what you've experienced and worked with, and you're working with it now to help people. Because Aquarius is the number one sign to help people, and to help them in the understanding of their journey and where they're coming from and their soul and their karmic record and their evolutionary pattern. So you've got a very interesting chart. It's complex, but it is very interesting. Do you have any questions now, Susan?
Can I say something? Because I kept mouth quiet for 30 minutes. Honest to goodness, I think I'm going to, if I couldn't say anything, first I want to talk about me, then I'll get back to you. I have 6 of 8 planets in the 8th house. Everyone, so you can hear, don't be jealous, it's okay. I will share it with you. Second of all, Ron, I want to introduce you to who you're talking to. You're talking to
Susan Schaff.
I have
no idea, because this is just
Yeah, I'm going to introduce you to her. This is Susan Schaff. She's one of my guests and co-hosts on my show. She is the animal communicator psychic. She's also a medium.
There you go. You work with the evolution of energies, and you could work with going in and getting answers. You can work with how the evolution – you can also work with animals. If you're an animal psychic connector, you can work with how animals have appeared and then reappeared from past lives into this life. Animals that may not be the first time that person has ever been around them, but they've reincarnated and come back together with them.
I'm so glad you told me all this, because all of this helps me validate who I am and make sense of why I do what I do. And this is a little bit side thing. I'm glad you told me about my mother. I'm actually what's called a stand-in or a walk-in. I wasn't really going to come back this lifetime, but I came back in a baby that my mom was having. This baby was coming out breech, and my mom and the baby were dying. And when I came back, a better doctor or someone was able to run into that room, because it was 2.5 months early, too. I mean, it was all just like flying out, and saved both our lives. And me and my sister are only 11 months apart, and I'm the middle kid, and I think I was not that everybody's always planned and wanted, but I think I was kind of like, oh, my God, another kid, and my parents were really young. So I always felt like I didn't fit in, and me and my mom have had this kind of contentious life. Mm-hmm. And it's getting better, because I'm 50 now, so obviously I'm older. Still not completely full circle, but I did believe that when I came back too, I was heard when I got older that I was fixing all my karma from every little life I ever had.
Connected to birthing, Susan, and the moon is connected to birthing and a person's birth, and the fact that it's at this anaretic 29 degrees could indicate the breech birth, the early birth, the almost dying of the child. The walk-in energy, the one energy switching at the last minute, the doctor coming in suddenly at the last minute, all of this could be that 29th degree.
That makes sense, because it just was so – when I found out about this, I was in my early 30s when I started really hearing for myself, and I thought, oh, this makes so much sense. And then I would tell my brother, who always believed me, I said, you know, I saved our mother's life by coming in. Otherwise, there was no soul coming into that body, and it wasn't – she was going to die with the baby, and my mom was only, like, 21. And then I said – and then you came after me, because me and my brother were twins before. So we kind of have that twin bond, even though he's, like, 6 years younger than me. And he always says, I always protect him. I look out for him if he needs it, and he certainly doesn't really need it anymore. But I feel that's great. I feel so good after hearing all this.
That 29-degree moon it would have indicated with that 29-degree moon that even though all patterns would have been the death of your mother had things continued, that there was a 29-degree destiny as the mother was going to survive even at the last minute, and that survival was because you have to work things out with her and forgive, move on, release, do a harmonizing between yourself and her, because this is kind of a last lifetime of a number of past life experiences, not always as a parent-child. Could have been as friends, could have been as siblings, could have been as partners. But this is an experience in this life, as you said, this time passes, you're getting more and more of a healthy connecting balance with her.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Go ahead.
And you know what, Susan, because you know I'm going to just talk in, and I won't tell your secrets, but you know, he nailed you on the love thing, too.
Yeah, he did, I know. I wrote that down and then put the exclamation points by it, like, it's not my fault.
By the way,
but now I have to
planet of animals. I find Jupiter is very strong in charts of people who are animal connected, and this could be veterinarians, this could be people that work with zoology, or people that work with energy, work with animals, as you can do and do. The fact that you've got Jupiter in Aries, a very powerful sign for Jupiter to be in, is also very positive for you and your work with animals. And Venus in Pisces, that's also a sign that has a placement that has a certain amount of love in its heart for animals. And I don't mean just fish, because it is a water sign, but it doesn't just mean fish. It can be all animals, because Pisces just loves everything from birds through dogs through cats through everything.
Cool. That's so awesome. I'm glad that I finally did came out as a psychic, as I call it, just a few years ago. Otherwise, I only did this for certain people who I knew weren't going to, like, throw it back in my face. So I do like doing this and helping people. And go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and then you can tell everybody, because I didn't even know that. Now I know what you're going to say. But Ron, I was wondering, Susan, because since you're on, and you know I throw things out, but and you know I kind of screwed up our show this week. So what I was going to ask you is, Ron just got two parakeets that I adore, and one's a boy and one's a girl. And I was wondering, after you asked him the question, if Ron, she could tap into your birds. If
well,
you want to ask
her. To this show. They listen to me now. They're way across the same room that I'm in, but I dimmed that part where the room, so they're in dim light, so they won't squawk or play too loud. But when I'm talking, like now, they watch everything I do, and at night they watch everything I do, and they're listening to me. They're hearing every word and watching my movements. They realize somehow I'm not talking to them, but they realize I am talking. And so it is interesting to see their way of reacting to the world.
Yeah, and what they're kind of saying is they've been with you before helping you do this energy work. And so while you're talking, they're listening, and they are taking a little bit of credit for some of the things you say, but they're helping you. So if you think, you know, it's kind of funny, because you're probably like, I didn't need any help with that. But they're saying that they kind of help if you forget something or whatever. So I don't completely understand what they're saying, because I'm sure you don't need help to do this. But it's with the energy. They're sending you this extra energy that helps you somehow. Yeah. And they've been,
I've ever had. I've never had birds this playful and having just such total joy.
They're so glad they came back. They, for some reason, they couldn't come back until this time in your life, or this is the pact you made with them. Come back at X amount of years in my life, because we'll have a nice, harmonious relationship, and they're like your children, of course. So they're so happy to be back, and this is the time of life that you had made that agreement with them to come back, and in that type of personality that they have.
How about, I got to ask one question for Ron, because he's going to ask you this, but what do you think, how do you feel about where they're living right now, their cage?
Well, they're wondering if they can have, and they are showing me almost an aviary in your home, and I don't know if you live in a small place or not, I don't really get the full view, but they're basically showing that they live in an aviary with a vaulted ceiling, and they fly around.
They are actually very comfortable in this cage. I didn't think they would be at first. They are very happy there.
Yeah, they're just they're showing that part, and then they're showing, well, if we have to live here, we're fine. So they're not too upset or anything. It's just they're showing either way would be fine with them if you would move, and there was that room that they could fly around, and they would do that. But then they would come back to their cage too. So
that's interesting, Susan. I have put a variety of toys in there with them, and they discovered every single toy and its usage. No one showed them. They figured all of this out. They're highly intelligent. Parrots are highly intelligent, and these are highly intelligent.
And they're also saying that they're going way back in time to the first birds, that they've been in every bird, every time we've had birds on this planet, and in, of course, other realms, but they've had a lifetime in every, let's say, era or eon or whatever you want to call it. So they're showing that they're so intelligent. They were like one of the first birds.
Wow.
And you know them. Yes. You're welcome.
Do you see me getting them, Susan? Because I love them too, although I can't take care of them and they'll probably die here. But do you see me getting them?
I see you maybe hanging around them. If you things go the way that you want to, and you have a different type of show, you will be around them because you're going to be around other psychics physically too. So you'll be around. You could maybe you're staying close by or staying overnight or something.
Yeah.
And they're there.
Well, I can drive to Ross, so they know me.
Okay, yeah, okay, they're saying that you can come be there, but you probably wouldn't ever actually. You could care for them, but they'll never actually live with you.
Okay, well that's good, Rod. And that means you have them. But I interrupted you, and now I'm taking up Kelly's time. But can you please finish with telling Ron what you do? Because I think that's what you were headed to tell us.
When I went to college, I wanted to be a psychiatrist, and I ended up getting a degree in social work. I live in a town that's a big university town. When I got out of school, I just could not get a job in that field. So I ended up being basically a bookkeeper, math is a huge thing for me. So that analytical thing has come through on all my jobs, and I've been very good at it, and I've been able to train people, and people are happy that I can understand it and then explain it in really layman's type terms. And my last job was eliminated over 5 years ago, and I have not been able to find a regular, what I call, people job since. So I've been doing the psychic work. People don't know about me so much, so I'm not like actually making a living at it, but I do feel that I can. And when Susan, Bonnie's other co-host, did my Akashic record, she said that I would be doing something with the karma, just like you said, seeing the past, present, and future and healing it, and it would be like a DNA karmic heal. So I don't know if it actually would heal the body, but heals the mind, and then you're complete with that, and it's done, kind of like you're saying with all these 29s. I just am so happy about that because I just know that I'm doing the right thing. So thank you.
I
do know it's my last time on Earth, which is absolutely fine because I know there's a million other places to go, but I'm glad that I'm completing this and maybe from other realms too, getting all the little pieces done. And then, you know, where I go after this, I don't know.
Well, I love it, Susan, and I hope you take me with you or I can come visit you because you're not getting rid of me, Morgana. So anyway,
we'll go back to Avalon for a while. We're fairies.
Yes.
That's the other thing. You know you're fairy.
Yes,
we're fairy spirits.
I know. Ron, I know you haven't felt good, and I do want to share with everybody, Ron did not feel good this week, just like I didn't for the last three, and he has come here to, you know, enlighten you and also to read your astrology because it's really important. And I know there was someone in chat that said that he's sorry, mediums, that astrology tells everything in their chart, and I agreed. We all have gifts, but that first breath we take maps out our past, present, and probably our future. So I agree with you out there in chat, but I love the medium thing because we do it so well. But anyway, I want to thank you, Ron, because you've got fans out there. You've got people who just love hearing all about our heavens and everything. And next week, you've got the new eclipse, solar eclipse, to talk about.
And meanwhile, people can reach me at my email address, which is livingastro@aol.com.
I am so excited you said that. I have to tell you, and then I've got to pick up Kelly, because Kelly's going to scream, but she's okay, because I know she's laughing. Anyway, if you want a reading, and he goes, I mean, my readings are like, I can't even tell you how long. He goes in such depth. He is my astrologer. You know I'm picky. You know what, if they rock with me, you know you're going to rock with them. I have been with Ron. I can't even tell you how long. I don't want to count because I'm only 15, so we didn't have a whole lot of things to do. Anyway, please get him at livingastro@aol.com. Get yourself connected to him. Get a reading. You will not be sorry. So, Ron, thank you. I love you, and we will see you next week.
Thank you, Bonnie, and thank you, Susan, and everyone.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you. We hope you feel better, Ron.
Oh, I'm feeling better already.
Ah, good. We made you feel good. Bye, Ron. Thank you again. We love you.
Thank you.
I love Susan. I'm leaving you on. I just love it.
Okay.
I'm gonna unmute Kelly because she's like probably chomping a bit like I do. Hey, Cal.
Hello. No, I'm not chomping a bit, man. I can listen to Ron for the whole 2 hours, Bonnie. It's like I'm cool.
You know what? Right now, I gotta tell Susan. I mean, that reading, and that's why I hope you don't mind, because that's why I included you in this. Susan, he had you. I mean, if that chart, see, that's what I'm talking about, like astrology and what that Billy Joe was talking about. If you would have known what we know now from like 10 and on, probably
yes.
Our lives might have been
faster.
Easier.
Might
yeah.
have been so much. I agree. I agree 100%.
And you know what? I had my kids' charts done. They get into so much detail that what I think is that's the problem when you're in your 20s, when you're in your teens, you really don't listen. You listen, but you don't. You only can grab, oh, what color is my wife's hair going to be? Am I going to get married, and where am I going to work? That's it. And that's why if we had the minds, but I think you might have because you sound like you're super double, triple intelligent, like Kelly, you might have understood. But I probably would have been the one that gone, yeah, where's my boyfriend? So I know why we don't, but it's a shame we don't, because I'm sure the chat people
right.
are going to say, you know, if we all would have rocked this at a younger age, we would have known why we're here. It tells you exactly. You could even go into detail, Susan, and that would be like a reading, you know, that Ron will go 2-3 hours of like where pinpoint. You are going to be at a certain time, at a certain place, and who's going to be with you? How many, if you're going to get married, how many kids you're going to, he rocked your world. I know a little bit about it, and I won't say it on air, but he knew nothing, and it was in your chart, girlfriend.
Right. I know. I figured he probably didn't know the way he was saying, kind of like, you could be really psychic or something, or not like you could, but he didn't know that I was using that already, so... That was awesome. It helped me feel better, too, about stuff. So I had my chart done years ago, but it had nothing to do. This was totally different from what I was
Ron
told.
Yeah, and you know what? Ron is famous. He does famous people. You can't give their names out all over the world and probably in other worlds. And he does all the – I know a lot of doctors, cardiologists, people who, big-time CEOs of companies, that I'll call him and say, hey, I'm getting ready to buy a house. I'm getting ready to make this deal. What's the best day that I can do it? And he'll pinpoint that day. I had a friend who is just so shy to call the show. Her husband is a big CEO and a really big metaphysical person. Though nobody would know it because he's in a suit and a tie. And she... even called Ron about her foot surgery. And do you know what? She sailed through the foot surgery. She's better in, I think, 2 weeks than most people are in a month. And that's what astrology sees.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, he's on every week. Everybody, I hope you understand who's on, because he really gives his time and he wants everybody to rock astrology. And so, you know, he's a good guy. And we do, like I said, we have about 3 or 4 weeks booked up already. But put your name in. We'll give you the week that you're on. You got to get to Kelly, because she'll keep a list of it, because I'm bad. So, you know, he does rock the house like you do, Susan, and like Kelly does. We all bring stuff to to the table. And I hope that everybody, we do it because we love everybody. We love our listeners. We love our callers. And we want to rock your world. So I hope he's rocked yours, Susan.
Well, that was awesome. Yeah, that was great. It was way better, more than I even expected. So I feel really good about it.
Oh, listen, and you know what? We're on archive, so you can go to the archive and download it and keep it. And it's also an iPod or whatever they call it, so you can actually take that iPod for you. Can't you, Cal?
Okay.
Yes, oh, yeah.
I will
absolutely
do that.
Yeah, it
great
might be on your wall, actually. If it's on mine, is it on my wall, Kelly, and can't we press share and it goes on her wall?
Something like that. Yeah, it's like if you go and get the links to the shows, and she clicks on that, it's like it'll bring it up. And then you know, she just can. There's usually like a down if her computer supports a download button, she can just download it.
Cool. All right. Well,
yeah, I'm gonna keep it.
Yeah, you need to keep
go ahead
it because you need to listen to it. You need to keep listening to it because, like Kelly will tell you, she listened to hers again. People listen, go back and listen, and back and listen, and then take notes. You can pick up a lot.
Right. I'm going to do that because there might be something I didn't write down.
Okay. Well, we love you, Susan, and I'll talk to you later about a show because I don't know what's going to go on. You know, I screwed up this week, and everybody please apologize. I apologize. I will make it right. We've got guests on this week that are powerhouses, and we have our co-hosts that are powerhouses. So please, everybody, I will let you know when Susan's going to be on, and you'll know when Kelly's going to be on at the end of the show. So thank you, Susan.
Thank you. Bye.
Before Susan takes off, can I make a comment or ask? It's like the little gal is in chat. I remember her dog, Samson.
I
posted the pictures. It's like he was the one that hated black cats. And she goes, it's like, well, I took him out. And he still hates black cats. And it's like, yeah.
I have an idea now. I'm putting you on the spot and Susan on the spot. But because Susan, I can't rock Susan on tomorrow because I've got Ron. How about if you and Susan stay on and me and anybody that needs Susan right now, if Susan's willing and you're willing, they can call for a reading. They can call for their pet. What do you think?
Absolutely. Sure. I think that's a great idea. Angie, call in. It's like, let's see what else.
Everyone,
Susan's
call in. We've got Angie
was
like Susan's staff. And we've got our Atlantean card reader, Kelly Coulter, who I love, both of them. Come on in. Come one, come all. Because otherwise I'm going to talk, and then you're going to hear me, and that's it. So, hi, everyone.
It's your show, Bonnie. You're entitled.
Yes, I am. All right, well, I do have one caller on here, too, so we're going to get to them. They can either talk to you or Susan, and I am going to be your host, guys. So hold on. And I hope that's okay, Susan. Did I keep you from something? Because
No, it's okay.
Okay. Hey, 814, you're on with Susan, Kelly, and Bonnie. How are you today?
Hi, this is Amy.
Hi, Amy. Hi. How are you today?
I'm doing good.
Well, what would you like and who would you like to talk to? Do you have an animal and spirit or here, or do you want your birth or Atlantean life cards read?
The life cards.
Okay, Cal, you're up, girlfriend.
Alrighty. What I need to do is get the month and the day you were born, and we'll look and see what your birth card is. And then if you want to know something particular about current year, I need your current age.
Okay, July 20th.
Okay. 20, and let's see. All righty. You are an eight of clubs with a jack of spades as your planet's your ruler. What I do know just off the top of my head about eight of clubs people is it is one of the most psychic cards in the deck.
Are you psychic?
Intuition. Well, a lot of people call it their little hunches, their little voices. let's see, ESP, you know, goes by a lot of different names, but it's kind of all part and parcel of the same thing. Do you get feelings or just, you know, have feelings or just go, oh, I think I should go do this, and you do it, and it turns out to be the right thing? Amy?
Hello?
I'm here.
Okay, Okay. Are you psychic, or do you have any psychic ability?
I would say at times, yeah, my intuition.
Yay! Good girl.
Yeah.
Okay, you're talking to show it. Go ahead, Cal.
Okay. Each of the cards, because I use the poker deck, has a specific name. The eight is called the mental power card, and it's one of the three fixed cards in the whole deck of 52. You've got some really strong mental power, and you're really not easily swayed by other people's views or opinions. If you decided you wanted to be an attorney, a lot of very successful attorneys just happen to be eight of clubs, and that's probably because they have that innate intuition about what cases they're going to win before they take them on. But, however, your power can be applied to any of the mental fields with great success. For example, they list chemists, rocket physicists. Also, a lot of those are very successful as, you know, Eight of Clubs people. Really, you can learn anything you choose to. Just kind of as an aside, the club suit in general is known as the scholars of the deck, and they, you know, certainly are the studious ones. You know, whatever you choose to take on and learn, it's like you definitely can do it when you set your mind to it. Your life path is one of the most successful in the deck. You really can achieve, you know, anything you set your mind to. You can attain wealth and prominence, but you just, you know, to keep that, you have to make sure your life is kept in balance, because mental and emotional peace is really essential to maintaining the success that you have. You do have a lot of, you know, psychic intuitive power, and you can be a really great healer. Your gift can be applied with great success, and you just need to become aware of what your true goals in life are in order to be successful and, you know, accomplish what you wish to. It is, as I said earlier, one of the fixed cards, you know, and that's kind of that double-edged sword. You know, it does have some drawbacks. Mainly, it's sometimes difficult for you to deal with change. It's just, you know, your mind, the concepts, the ideas, principles that are the most fixed. Often you're born with kind of like, it just seems, a certain set of principles that you're going to live your life by, and you absolutely will not change that, you know, for anybody else. However, there will be certain periods in your life where changes of your mental structure will, you know, will and do come. And those can be really difficult, but that is part of an Eight of Clubs karmic path. You're always more kind of like healthy or alive. It's just, you know, you experience that kind of like as a rebirth. After these, you know, type of changes come. Now, if you end up working with, you happen to know some of your coworkers or, you know, people in life that you work with, if they happen to be a Jack of Hearts or a King of Spades, you know, those cards working together, those people with those cards working together, you can have a lot of, you know, like far-reaching success. If you're really committed to doing some kind of like, you know, work for humanity or the planet, you know, you'll succeed with that. And really, truly, for, you know, for best results, let your work come before personal life, and you definitely want to keep your personal life and career life separate. Okay. In relationships, you've essentially got good marriage karma. Being a thick card, a lot of times you're less prone to like the emotional changes, you know, the ups and downs, hills and valleys that the other cards have. It's like, you know, yours is more like rolling hills rather than the Swiss Alps. Okay. You've got a four of spades in Venus. It's also a sign that appreciates stability and calm and family enough to really avoid changes in the love life that can affect some of the other cards in the deck. But at some point, you might have either like a difficult divorce or separation from, you know, from somebody, that kind of situation, and that might possibly come in association with somebody in the diamond suit. For the Eight of Clubs, that's kind of the Eastern romantic breakup. It's a type of karma that's carried forward, and I know Ron was mentioning about you know, how we divested some of that karma. I thought that was really cool. But that must be dealt with in the past, usually in a past life. Because of the fixed nature of the Eight of Clubs person, when those changes come, it's not that easy to deal with. You know, women often end up in association with either a younger male who might be a diamond birth card, that, you might get introduced to a highly spiritual or romantic love. And that oftentimes will occur in your 40s. When you discover that some more, you know, there's more to the world than just, you know, fixed mental concepts, you really come face to face with that inner desire for adventure and variety of love experiences. So sometimes it really takes something that drastic like that, you know, that divorce, that separation, that change, to kind of help you graduate, you know, like high school graduation. You graduate to a new level in your life and break free of that fixed pattern. Sometimes there are secret givings, you know, before and after that change. But once that change, you know, you go through that, you're more free to pursue really whatever kinds of relationships that you need. And in your case, you know, being a female, Aegis clubs, you know, it's better for you to not allow your personal relationships to be more important than your life's work, you know, than like your career. Because when you put personal, you know, personal relationship ahead of career, you kind of lose some of your power and you get entangled in emotional, you know, the emotional swamp and confusion. Okay. Is that making any sense so far?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
I love it.
Okay. I can give you some of your personal, because, man, you're getting, that's going to say in July, you're getting kind of towards the, I'll say, end of you're past the middle of things here, so let's see where it's at. Because each of it, this is like a numerical system. So each of the planetary rulers are assigned, you know, it's 2 days. So you've got Mercury, of course, your personal year will always be this. Your Mercury starts on your birthday in July. Venus comes in, and that 52-day period starts September 10th. The Mars period starts November 1st. Jupiter period starts December 23rd. The Saturn period, just comes through that, starts February 14th, though, on Valentine's Day. Wow, hard day there. And then the Uranian time frame starts April 7th. So you're into the Uranian time frame right now, and the Neptune time will flip over. That'll be May 29th, and then that'll go until your birthday. So let's see. So right now, what's your current age like, you know, like right now? Because that'll be the 40. Okay, cool. And you've got some changes coming up ahead anyway. So when you start hitting your 40s there, you've gotten to that magical
We love that. I'm not close to 40. I'm only 15.
Love it, body. Yes,
sorry.
We know.
Sorry. But, honey, I'll catch up with you someday.
Oh, goodness. Let's see. All right, so for this whole year, actually your long-range card was the Four of Diamonds. So this whole year you've kind of had, you said 42, right? This whole year has kind of been about wanting to get stable with your finances and wanting to get stable with your values. You know, because diamonds represent not only in the mundane world, you know, our finances, but diamonds represent in the deeper sense really what you value. And it's kind of funny because they say that anybody who's a diamond, you know, if you date a diamond person, you have a price on your head because they tend to monetize your value. So I can appreciate this. I have 2 children who are diamonds. I'll go there.
Me too. Hey, you have a hostess, a diamond, and diamonds are a girl's best friend. Except
yes,
I really love my Pete.
Yeah, yes, indeedy. Let's see. The Saturn time, I'm going to say, you know, you've had this past year. It's like, you know, you had the, initially you started out, you know, you had some desire to be, you know, like a loving union with someone, and you really had some blessings starting out. You had in Venus some really interesting, you had a double sevens there. It's like, you know, I'm going, wow, I wouldn't mind playing poker with this hand. But you had a seven of clubs and a seven of spades in your Venus time. So that was about, you know, having faith, communicating, you know, letting people be who they were. There might have been either episodes with either career or health somewhere along the way. And some of the sevens is about, you know, kind of opening your hands, letting go and letting God. In Mars, you had a 3 and a 4 of spades right together. Threes give a lot of creativity. 4 is kind of the workaholic card, and it's like you're really wanting to be, you know, you work a lot, and it was in association with men, and if there had been, you know, some legal issues or something, you know, you probably came out, I'll say, better than the average. In Jupiter, you had this Ace of Hearts and a 9 of Clubs. Now, the Ace is kind of like, now it's not looking for love in all the wrong places. I get these song lyrics, and it's like, okay, no, it's like, but it was a desire for love, or even, you know, starting something. It can be like a personal love, or it can be starting like a new venture that you really love to do. With that 9 of Clubs, 9s are always about graduations, or, you know, one door closes, another door opens. So something along in there, and that was during the blessed time. So it's like actually that should have come out, you know, whatever was happening there should have come out fairly good. In the last two times, in Saturn, you got the Six of Spades combined with the Three of Diamonds. So you've got, it was like the Six of like the card of karma, the card of fate. And that would be, both of those would be a little bit harder in Saturn because Saturn is already the planet of karmic things and of, you know, of destinies. And it's like, you know, really having to balance the scales. You know, you have to work. And it's like spades in that means likely that you'll either, you know, really work hard, or it can also be one of those fact-finding things where you kind of figure out what is working for you in life and what's not. With that three, being really creative, you could find, you know, you could have been working three jobs, or, you know, finding three different ways to make money, or, you know, just a variety of things like that, or, you know, been introduced to three different systems of, you know, spiritual learning. So it's like, you know, just had some variety of things going on. Now, where are you at right now? This is really awesome. You've got a Six of Clubs, and you've got an Eight of Spades. So the Eight of Spades is like, I'll say, the power card of the deck, and that continues on into Neptune. So right now, you're really holding a lot of personal power. You really have the ability to achieve what you want to. If there's any sickness or illness, you know, you have the ability to overcome that. If there's anything going on, like with your career and changes, in Uranus, you might find it, things come unexpectedly and just kind of, you know, I'm not going to say T-bones you like a car, you know, what does, but it's just like, you know, things just kind of go, whoa, you know, it's like out of the blue, didn't expect that, you know, type of thing. And it's going to be good things. It's not going to be a car wreck. It's going to be something, you know, a lot more positive.
With that power card, it should be great.
Yes, absolutely. And then with that Six of Clubs, again, that is a fact-finding thing. It's in communications with your fated things. So it's like it's really kind of about finding, you know, again, finding your direction. What comes to mind is how Jack Canfield describes in The Secret, you know, like you can drive across the country, like from New York to California at night with just your headlights, you know, your headlights on, and you only have to see a couple hundred feet ahead of you. You know, and you can drive across the whole country, and you don't have to see from sea to shining sea to get to California. It doesn't have to be the bird's eye view, but you just keep progressing. You keep putting, you know, one foot in front of the other and keep moving forward. So that's, it's kind of that type of energy. Now, you do have your the two cards that are read as a pair for this year, and they are year-long influences, is the Four of Clubs is your Pluto card, and the Ten of Hearts has been your result card. So the challenge, Pluto is your challenge for the year. It's about being stable, and it's about being stable in your communications with people and about learning new things and really, you know, stabilizing, you know, things that you would like to do, things that you would like to learn, you know, go do, and how you communicate with people. The result with that Ten of Hearts is you might end up with a new circle of friends, or you know, you kind of reconnect with old friends. But somehow or other, you know, you get the benefit of having a, you know, kind of a group that will support your ideas. Any of that making any sense?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Was there any questions?
Oh, it sounds like a great, yeah, it sounds like a great year.
Yeah. I mean, this has been, it's like, it's
I'll take the power card.
You'll take the power card. Yeah, so like I said, you're going to finish really strong, you know, right up to your birthday, and then when you're, you know, when your next birthday arrives, you know, it's like everything's going to flip. You've got a whole new layout, you know, for the 43rd year. And what I will say, just kind of a little look ahead, the 44th year is called your pre-birth year, and it's the year that you kind of feel like you're in a London fog, and, you know, you really can't, you know, see a lot ahead what's going on, but you just keep kind of like, you know, progressing. And then the 45th year is called the rebirth year, and that's a lot of times what the mundane world calls the midlife crisis, because, you know, if there's going to be transitions and things like that, and you've got, like, man, I'd love to play, you got, like, five aces in that hand that year, it's like, you know, on your 45th year, so it's like you're really going to go through a lot of starts, a lot of transitions, a lot of things, and really in your life over. Because what it does is you've got, from the day you step into the planet, it goes for like a 45-year cycle. When you hit 45, you've got the same birth cards that you were born with, except you've got the 45 years worth of experience, and then you kind of go, okay, I'm setting the tone for the next 45 years. So it's really that opportunity to remake what you're doing and all this stuff. But this year, you know, these years leading up to that, it's like you're really preparing the field. This is like, you know, like doing the garden. It's like, you know, it's the plowing, it's the planting, it's the, you know, the weeding and the watering. It's like really make it a preparation, and then when that year comes along, it's like the growth will be explosive. So you're not going to stress. Just, you know, whatever you're doing, just keep on keeping on and be positive.
Well, I hope we've helped you.
Oh, you have. You definitely have.
Well, right. Give us a call. We're always here, and I am going to take the next caller unless you have a pet question. Do you have a pet?
I do, but Susan has already answered that question for me before a couple weeks ago.
Okay. And you don't. Okay, that's good. Well, I'm going to go to the next caller. But listen, you have great cards, and you know what? In your 45th year, I'm also a counselor and a therapist. So if you need me, you just let me know.
Okay. Thank you.
And I will always be here for you. But I'm kidding, because you look like you're going to have some great years.
Thank you. That sounds great.
You're welcome. Have a great day. Oh, I love her. She was so sweet. We're going to go on to, I think this is the caller about 0116. 0116, you're on. Hi, this is Bonnie.
Hi, it's Angie.
Hi, Angie. Are you the one that needs to Hi, it's Angie the pet person.
I'm hating black cats.
Hi, Susan. This is Angie.
Hi, Angie.
Hi, sister.
Hi. We talked last week about Kemp, and he still hates black cats. I took him out a little bit ago, and he, tried to choke himself to get one. And I said, Samson, you've been talked about this. And he looked at me like, shut up and give me the black cat.
Might take him a while to get over it. I think eventually he will. For some reason, that's just his mantra. Like, it's almost the same to him as going out and peeing practically now, because he's like, I go outside, I do this, I chase cats, I do that, I do this. And he hasn't decided that he won't chase the cats just because they're there. So it's going to take him a while, I guess.
Funny. He'll still lay on the back of the couch and bark out the window at them. And, anytime he barks, I'm like, oh, there's a black cat around. That's the only time he barks.
It is kind of funny. I still think it's because he was afraid of a black cat when he was small, but I don't think he's carrying it. They don't carry things over from past, lives so much, so it had to be, just see him kind of feels like he's being cornered, but now he's bigger and he wants everyone to know that he's, look out for me.
Like, he's crazy when he does it.
He's not listening. He hears, but he's not listening because it's so ingrained in his head that this is what he does. But it's almost like you probably don't really pay any attention to him when he does it. But that's kind of what has to happen, is he doesn't get any attention paid to him. I know you can't let him out just to go after somebody or any cat, but I'm wondering if, gosh, and I wouldn't ever suggest to put a cat near him or anything, but I wonder if there's just any way where he can sit and just watch cats through. Well, he used to keep barks when he walked.
I mean, yeah, because we have a deck on the back side of our porch, and he lays up on the couch and watches them, and he's fine. Like I said, he's fine with every other cat. As soon as a black one comes anywhere, even in anywhere he can see, he just starts going nuts.
Yeah.
It doesn't even need to be.
The only thing that would be
inside, and he can be outside.
Yeah, it's like he's going to have to get desensitized to them, and right now it's his trigger where other dog might bark at a bird or a squirrel or anything else. That's his, squirrel, is the black cat.
It's just so funny that every other cat's fine. He's laying in the hallway right now, and the white cat's laying right up against him, and he's just happy as can be.
So he's just, I don't know what... Can I see him?
No.
Or what did you say?
Can you paint him? Can you paint him white? I mean, it's only a black cat to change its color. Make it pink. What happens?
Trying to tell the other cats around to sort of send him a message that this cat won't hurt him. It's just like the white cat. And hopefully it'll get him. So, he's kind of not listening. he hears, like you said,
typical
like
man.
Important.
They just don't.
Yeah. He hears it, but he's like, "I go away. I'm doing what I want."
That's pretty much what he does. Where we're like, "Samson, why? Why do you have to chase the black cat?" And he just like looks at us like we're crazy, and just continues to bark.
He feels like he's maybe saving everybody from the cat because he was terrorized as a puppy, but now he should be past that. So I'll just try to have the white cat tell him to stop it. You know, just keep saying to the other cat, tell Samson not to do that. And
the other
cat's name's
Katie, if you need her name. She's in the house with us.
Okay.
And we also have an orange one named Pooh in the house with us, too, that he doesn't have a problem with.
Okay. We can tell both of them to tell him, Samson, not to be afraid of the black cats and that everybody's being annoyed by it. So if they tell him, because he'll listen to them more. So I'm giving them that information. They're kind of looking at me like, okay, we'll tell them to tell him to calm down. We'll say bark at squirrels or something. So he's going to have to exchange one energy for the other for a while, and squirrel can get away from him.
Yeah.
Cat might try to turn around and fight.
Well,
so.
I'm fine with them barking at, like, little things, but it's bad when you can't let them outside to run when we live on, like, a huge, like, piece of land where he could just run and run and run and run, but as soon as he goes outside and sees a black cat, like, we don't want him to kill the cat, so we have to keep them all tied up and stuff.
Yeah. And the only other thing I can suggest is maybe you can talk to a real cat behavioralist or just go online and type that in and see if anything comes up. Because they don't really know what to do to make him change as, like, a physical change or something. I can just basically tell him not to. So he is showing that I don't listen to you, lady, is what he's telling me, basically. So that's why I'm telling the cats, because he listens to them and talks to them. I feel like within
they can, back him around and everything, and he just looks at them like, whatever, and lays back down.
Yeah, he knows he's kind of the pecking order, that he's, like, maybe number three. But when he gets outside and he kind of goes bonkers. So I don't know. If there's something you can find out about that maybe helps change the pattern, because I just don't know what else to say, because he's just kind of like, this is how I am, and too bad. He doesn't even seem to care that he's not being let out to run all over, which he should care, because he should want to do that.
Yeah, you think, right? Like, our yard's huge. He should want to be going outside, just running around. Oh, he's looking at me in the hallway right now. He looked at me
good.
And walked away.
That's what he could be doing instead of just staying home and barking at black cats.
Well, you know what? I have kind of a thing of, well, I'll tell you after we're done. But I hope, Angie, that she's helped you. I know, you know, I kind of understand. I mean, you know, I just think, can't you just dump a paint can on that black cat and make it white?
Well, we have more than one. We have, like, three of them outside. So we need
black
paint. Yeah.
Black one? I mean, you can get those things in that spray can just to try it and see if it will work. Just spray paint it a color and see what happens.
I'll chase the cats around the yard with a spray can of paint and see if
you can get like pink and stuff. Just try it and see what happens. I don't know what color you can spray black to, but, you know, it might work.
All right.
Anyway,
I just wanted to give you an update. See what,
okay.
Good luck. We hope that everything works out, Angie, because I understand. Because I got to tell you something, Susan, while you're on the phone, because, you know, it's always about me anyway. But, you know, Chili, there's two things I want to tell you, and it kind of reminds me of that. Chili doesn't bark at many people. I mean, she'll bark if somebody comes to the door, but she only does it for a second. But she will bark her head off, and her hair stands up on the back at the only neighbors next door, and they're both in their 90s, and they both are sweet, they both are nice, and the only thing I think of when that happens, I mean, she has not, we've been here 14 years, she won't relent. I mean, she would rather get thrown in the house, yelled at, put in their room, than to just stop barking at these people. And somebody said to me one time that they think that she sees angels or something, spirit behind them, And that,
that's exactly what I was going to say. She sees their energy, like, so let's just say that they're not 100% in their bodies anymore. So she sees this other energy all around them, and it, you know, they're probably not going to live much, you know, how many years longer, whatever, and she sees that fading aura.
Okay, and that's, but how about for 10 years she's been doing it?
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with them, but I feel like, and it's kind of strange, not strange, but I feel that, maybe as they aged, they were able to kind of fly around together somewhat. So let's say that this couple was able just to fly around all over the world but still have these bodies and just be attached by the strings. And I think that's what she sees, more or less.
Wow.
So that even when they come to your house, I'm sure part of them is in their body, but not all of it. So she gets freaked out by that. They
yeah,
must
that
be very adept at. I feel like they're time travelers, actually. I kind of feel like they're, I don't want to say not normal, because there is no normal, but like a different type of being inhabiting the human bio suit.
I think
yeah.
so, too. He's a famous cardiologist, and he's in his 90s, and she has so many operations. She's had all kinds of stuff. They shouldn't even be here, and they look like they're in their probably, well, he looks like he's in his 90s, but he's a he goes to the gym. And she has a private trainer. I swear to gosh that, you know, I think the same thing. I think these people aren't really from here. That's what reminds me, you know.
Yes, I think that the other soul is,
health, though, that's
the other souls are already gone. They may have stand-ins in them.
Yeah, and maybe that's a chilly.
Feel that. Yeah, it's a different energy. So she knows that. And a pet will know, you know, if it's the same body or whatever, but they look right through us to our energy, so they're the ones that will go and hide or spark. But they're not they're harmless, but they're different energies than most, let's say, humans.
Right, and I don't feel any, what's really strange is I don't feel any attachment to them as neighbors. Unfortunately, I don't make a big deal, like when they're sick. Usually I would bring cake. I don't know, and they really like me, but I don't feel that. So I think the same thing. I think you're right on the money. And then another thing, because I know we don't have time to take anybody else, so I'm going to just talk. Chili, when I do the radio show, and I remember we were talking, she sits between me and the chair. I mean, if I would lean back, she would be squished, and she does not move except to change one side, then she'll turn her face to the other side. It is really strange.
That's your best.
So she does that when you sit in a certain chair?
Yes, she's not here today. It's only on, usually it's, I'm shocked she isn't here today. And I think it's probably Monday and Tuesday. It's always a Monday,
mm-hmm.
Tuesday, and Thursday. Wednesday it's iffy because I think she feels Ron or, you know, she knows Ron. So, but I'm not sure why. I mean, she will not move. It's between me and the back of the chair, and she's never in this chair because this is a different room. And she just sits there, and, I mean, she won't move.
She guards your back. She's got your back, Bonnie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She feels like you and her are a team, that it's also her show, and if anybody has questions for her, they should ask her, and
hey,
she would
you
tell
think you.
You
could get the answer? You know what? Maybe what we should do is see if somebody has a question for Chili, and then since you can talk to her, you can get the answer.
Yeah, because she is psychic. Well, all pets are psychic, but she says she's psychic. It should be the Bonnie and Chili show.
Yeah, I think she thinks.
But she is she's a little bit afraid of Ron's energy, not scary, but his energy is too different from yours and hers, so she just, you know, goes in the other room or something.
Yeah, she's in the other room. Or she'll go
yeah.
onto the bed. She's in the other room right now. But she does not move on Monday and Tuesday. She does not move. And tomorrow, I know when I have Ron Reeder here, she won't move either.
So there's something
really
about
crazy.
That, yeah. And she feels she's also saying that she's kind of grounding you because otherwise you would be more flying around than you'd already do. So...
You know what? I love
she's
flying.
Like, because you are so high in the fairy realm. I'm fairy, too, but I'm not as high. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. Well, you would probably be able to explain it better. So basically when you're sleeping, you are out being a fairy. You know, like
yeah.
Tinkerbell in a way. And you know
yeah.
that, I'm sure. And you're yeah. everywhere. You're everywhere. Not, I mean, we don't stay on the earth anyways when we're dreaming. So when you come back, it's so hard for you to stay in your physical body the older you get, too, because you get higher and higher. And so she's helping you stay. And then she's also, just like the parrots were kind of taking some credit, she's taking some credit for the things that you do and you say and whatever. You know, maybe my cat has been helping me, too. So we can, that's fine. We don't.
I know. Your cat helped me out to be in Chicago. Wait, I got to tell you something because she's not here, so I'm not grounded. But I've got to tell you this. I can't remember what I was going to tell you. But that's me. It's about, especially at night. I when my head hits the pillow, I don't ever remember being here because I know I do not stay the second I hit that pillow. I'm in different universes. I'm somewhere. So when I come back, boom, right into, and then I'm up. So I
and do you ever have that feeling when you're going into your body like you're going to go right through the floor?
No, because I just remember. I'm here. That's just the thing. Oh, now I've got to get up. You know, I do not remember anything before, unless I'm going to have a prolific dream or prophetic dream, which I don't have very often. But when I do, man, I sit right up because I'm not here. So, yeah. I don't totally know.
I had a dream the other day, and it's probably right before I woke up. It was a dream where I went to the doctor or something or dentist, and they put me under, and I woke up, and I kept asking for someone who wasn't there. And I'm like, wait, who are you talking about? And I started talking kind of like a different language because I thought I was in a different reality. So then it flipped that every time I went to sleep in my dream, I would wake up and be in a different reality. So you were only in one place for like what would be a day or something. And I thought, that is so cool. And I woke up.
I know. Well, it's telling you something. What it's telling you, I mean, I could get into usually I can go real quick into people's dreams, very quickly. I mean, they have all these dream interpretations and books and everything. You've got to be kidding. It takes me 2 seconds.
I know. I don't believe those either.
I'm not quite sure what they're really. I mean, I got, because I love dreams and I never had them. I stopped having them about 6 years ago, maybe 10. But anyway, I don't even think I had them before then, but then I can't remember. So the thing is that with dreams, I would read these books, and I'd go, what? What? And it totally wouldn't resonate with me. But then when I would hear a dream or I knew a dream, I knew exactly the meaning. So, it's just dreams are pretty easy if you really think about them, unless you're really perplexed. Like I had one that was reoccurring, and I had to go see somebody about it. But the one I saw was a psychic medium, and this was 20
years
ago. Yeah, so, she's a friend.
That's cool. The last person I remember in my dream this morning was Elizabeth Taylor opening a door for me. And we know she just passed a year or two ago. So it was not that I'm thinking I'm dying or something, but it was the day after having those other dreams, I was like, well, maybe, it's just another type of consciousness we'll be aware of.
Well,
who knows?
What Ron said, you heard what Ron said about you, that you're not just here, you're in other universes, or he said something like that. Probably what Elizabeth Taylor was doing was opening that door for you and saying, it's okay, let's go. And
I agree, because she was like just looking at me smiling, and maybe she was 30 or something at the time. I went to see this lady who does soul retrieval. And she did this, she uses a pendulum, but she said at the time that I was in over 700 universes, and she put me back totally into my body. As I'm sitting in the chair, I felt like somebody just punched me right in the chest. It hurt so bad because my soul then, filled up more and, I don't know, whatever. And probably for 2 or 3 days, I felt like I had this heart pain almost. So, I'm kind of thinking of going back to her because, he was saying that thing about the karmic releasing or something that I could do for other people. I don't seem to be able to do it so well for myself. So
no, that's
I was thinking about
said.
Going back to her to break some of those fears of crap.
Well, I've got to tell you, that's what he said about you, about that one house, that you're really good at healing and doing that for other people, but not so much for yourself. So listen to it a bit again, because he nailed that one too. Anyway, we have 34 seconds. I just need to get this on. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Kelly, for releasing some of your time. Thank you, Susan, for staying on.
No problem.
Tomorrow, Ronald Reeder, He is going to be here. He is a spirit medium only. You call up, and what he wants you to say is, can you find? I like to talk to. He wants you to bring who you want to talk to, and he will find him. He's really good. Give us a call. It is at 1 o'clock, and it'll be standing room only. So everybody, please get in. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Cal.
Bye.